And welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I am Mark DeFalco.
And Dan is once again out. I think he's testifying to Congress or
something. Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows with that guy? So let's jump right into it. Our top story is the 2.0 version of the Coding for Fun toolkit is out there.
2.0.0.
Yeah.
This one seems like it combines a couple items that go across phone, Windows 8,
Windows 7,
Windows Phone 7, Windows Store, Phone 8. So there's a couple of extra controls. I know there's a brush converter in there that wasn't previously. Do look in the release notes because there are a few breaking changes. I believe there was a namespace that changed from just toolkit to phone to preserve all the phone specific stuff.
From dot phone to just toolkit, went up a level.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And so the idea is that this code is taking advantage of portable class libraries, which we've talked about in the past. So it just works against all three different platforms. And it's not just for building fun applications either. I think they should really think about rebranding this because there's a lot of really great controls. They're all free. You can download them, get the source for them, and party on.
Yeah.
So, very good stuff. Next up, we talked last week a lot about the Git announcements, cats and dogs living together. So this is the ability for you to talk from Visual Studio to Git repositories, as well as to use Git with the Team Foundation service. And there's a lot of really good documentation out there. This is a new walkthrough that was published that talks about basically how do you create, connect, and publish using Visual Studio with Git. Nothing to say there?
I use Mercurial.
HG.
A little bit of HG, a little bit of TF.
Yep. Okay. I did not know that about you.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's okay. And WSALS.
Yeah. So if you weren't familiar with those, and actually I wasn't before I read this, this article that we have here is actually a nice synopsis. It's actually a list of lists almost.
Okay.
That covers all things you want to look at before producing or before shipping your Windows 8 app to the store. WSALs are Windows Store App Labs. And these are actually physical locations. And if you go to the article, click on the link, you'll see it crosses North America, Europe, Asia. I think there's even one in South Africa.
Hmm.
So physical locations, you can go with your code, talk to Microsoft experts, have them look through, make sure that you're following the right navigation models, commanding models, using contracts where appropriate, things like that. The article then goes on to kind of be a meta list of the guidelines and checklists that are spread out across MSDN from everything really from the do's and don'ts of navigation and where to use app bar and, again, all that stuff that you can go to the physical locations and see.
Nice. Yeah, we've talked about a lot of those individually on the show, but I always like the roll-up links that kind of maintain them all in one location.
Right.
So that's really helpful. So speaking of portable class libraries, this next one here is an analyzer that you can run. It's basically an application that you can run. You point it at your DLL, and it's going to tell you what platforms it is currently compliant to be run against. And if you are using namespaces or APIs that you shouldn't, if you want it to be functional across other platforms, then something to be aware of. So yeah, you're...
No, that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah,
I mean, he talks more in the article about how he came up with it. There used to be a spreadsheet that, I forget the name already.
Daniel Placid?
Yes. And he was like, wouldn't it be great if there was an automated way to do it? And like a true developer just went and did it.
Went out and coded it up. So that's great. So this is a tool that you particularly got excited about, which is cross-browser debugging in Visual Studio with Browser Stack.
Yeah. So I just... Because you can't program for one, you never program for one browser.
I only do Netscape. That's okay.
And I do a lot of web development, both on Channel 9 and for our event websites and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to go in and simulate an iPhone or Android device or Windows device or anything like that, or across all the browsers, is extremely useful. So this is, you can download emulators, so you don't actually even have to have the browsers installed, and go through and actually test out your entire browser stack.
Okay, so this is a company that provides this, or?
Yeah, so I need to, I didn't look into too much detail into it, something I want to look more into, but...
So it's 3 months of free service.
Yeah, I was gonna say, the service is free for a while.
So they keep that updated, okay.
If you don't have the actual... yeah, the browser's installed.
Okay.
So yeah, 3 months of full service for free.
Okay. Cool. Good stuff. Now, this is an interesting one, also from Hanselman, and he talks about this multi-edit extension for Visual Studio, and I actually had never heard of this as a feature in any kind of text editor, but it sounds like you have, and the idea is, what, you can place your cursor, you can somehow tell it that you're placing your cursor in three different places, or however many you want.
Right, you can place your carrot, basically, in multiple places in your text editor, and then start doing things. So mm-hmm. I think this version is very light, so it's basically typing and backspacing and deleting.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine basically cases for more complex refactoring where you're not just renaming a bunch of things.
Right.
But maybe you want to put, you're calling a static method and you want to actually put the explicit class name in there, or something in the web where you want to change all of the divs to spans or something, but not all over the place.
Right.
You just go and select real quick a bunch of them with your mouse and then type away and you'll get the result.
It's like the Bart Simpson scenario where you want to place
right,
it multiple times. Yeah, I will not place cheese in the toaster oven
right.
or whatever.
So I know this is something that's existed in like Sublime Edit, which mm-hmm. is a fairly expensive but very good text editor, but now a free extension for Visual Studio. Only in 2012, is not enabled in 2010. I'm not sure if there's plans to port it back.
But okay. Good to
important
know.
Important to note.
Yeah, that's cool. I'll have to think about places where I would be able to take advantage of this.
Sure.
So next up is from our friend Steve Fox. And, Steve, long time was in DPE. Now he's out in the services world, and he runs all these workshops, and he helps people learn about Office 365 and Windows Azure. So he put together what I think is a really nice blog post, which just talks about, hey, how do you get started if you're building in the world of Office 365 and Azure development? What tools do I need to install on my machine? What accounts do I need? How do we get started? So just a really nice, concise, like, hey, if you're thinking about, doing Azure development and building apps for Office 365, good thing to do to jump in and get started.
Yeah, brand new landscape again with all the Office apps mm-hmm. being available, so a whole new marketplace to jump into.
Yeah, lots of cloud-connected scenarios for extending Office, which is really cool to see. Talking about new landscapes, let's talk about some old landscapes a little bit. So this is a developer interview with the guys who write FreeDOS. So FreeDOS is an open source implementation or re-implementation of DOS, if you will. And we were talking a little bit before the show about how it can be really nice to want to go back and play some of these really old games. You had, what was yours? Theme Hospital,
yeah.
I had never heard about. And Secret Weapons, the Luftwaffe, is one that you had never heard about. Yeah. But it can be so hard, increasingly difficult these days, to get your hands on a copy of just DOS and mm-hmm. go, hack on it and get your hymen in the right place. And
as much as I thought this was a really niche deal, mm-hmm. They say in the article there's over like 400,000 downloads in the past year, and that's
wow.
just the initial rev. So apparently there's a lot of enthusiasts for getting back to nostalgia here.
Yeah, definitely.
And going back to the old school command line.
I want to see somebody port this to a Windows Store app. That would be cool. And then, of course, we were talking also about how Windows Phone now has a Super Nintendo emulator that's available in the marketplace.
SNES 8X. Yes.
Yeah. So we're not saying how to get the ROMs or anything like that, but if you happen to have ROMs, then it works with it. So AppV, this is something that that I don't think you had heard about before, right?
Or I'd heard of it and I'd used it briefly, but I never understood the internals of it.
Yeah, so basically the idea, and I'm by no means an expert here, but the idea with AppV is you can have applications that stream down to you. The code still runs on your machine, so it's not like it's running on a remote terminal somewhere. But the idea is that you don't have to install the application in advance. The application virtualization technology is responsible for looking at the sequence in which your executable is called, streaming that to you in kind of a just-in-time delivery model, so that when you launch, say, Visio, I have Visio running as an AppV application, it will download that off the server. And the advantage there is that I don't have to install all these applications on my machine that I may use occasionally. I can just access them kind of on right. demand over the network. And then the other nice thing about it, too, is that I don't have to keep these updated if there's new versions that come out, that sort of thing. So that brings us to this article, which talks about how do you take advantage of App V when it comes to Visual Studio 2012. And that's especially interesting given this world of continuous delivery around Visual Studio 2012 with Update 1 coming out. Last week we had CTP 2 of Update 2 coming out. It can be kind of a maintenance nightmare for you to try to keep all these add-ons updated on your system. And so now with this article, you can presumably maintain, you know, kind of a desktop standard for everyone in your organization, and then you can just make sure that every time you walk in the morning to launch Visual Studio, you're getting the latest and greatest.
I can imagine I have a unnamed PDF viewer on my desktop that often needs an update.
Yes,
so I can imagine that'd be useful in that case.
Yes, and that is one of the ones that's available on CorpNet here at Microsoft as well. So yes, it works really well. This is my own shameless plug, but this is for a new virtual machine I released today, and it really focuses on the integration between Team Foundation Server 2012 and System Center 2012, and specifically Operations Manager. So the idea is, you've heard of this concept of DevOps.
Yeah.
Getting development and operations to work more effectively together. And so in the operations world, a lot of organizations use System Center Operations Manager. So when they notice an incident in a production machine, they'll get this alert. The idea here is that we've now got an integration that's enabled between System Center Operations Manager, so they can basically right-click on that issue, it assigns it over to TFS, and not only that, but it also contains all the information that SCOM already knows about that running environment, and you can hopefully eliminate the need for the dev to like pick up the phone and say, hey, can you send me this log, this event viewer? Are you sure this is happening on that particular machine? Okay. And really the idea is to lower the amount of time it takes to get a resolution out there back to production so that everyone's happy again.
Reduce a lot of those error-prone manual steps of, yeah, go to the log file, copy that over, get the appropriate part of it.
And so this virtual machine, it contains everything you need to kind of see these scenarios in action and play with them. And also has a hands-on lab you can walk through to see exactly how this lights up. Which brings us to picks of the week.
Picks.
So pick of the week for me is Surface Pro, which is coming out this weekend, at least in North America. And so that's February 9th. It's going to be on sale for $899. I understand that Charles has one in his office that I'm going to go play with right after the show. Definitely very excited to check that out. I love my Surface RT. I take it with me everywhere. And so I could see you love your Surface RT as well.
My RT is, yeah, it's with me all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm just too lazy to go over to my computer, so I sit on my couch. And all my browsing and consumption happens on here.
Absolutely.
Lots and lots of hours I've read it on this guy.
Yeah, definitely. So that brings us to your pick of the week, which is a little bit old school.
We have quite a bit
DOS.
Of nostalgia in here this week, apparently. But there's been a post that's been spread pretty widely on the internet this week. It's a visualization, the autograph of the old dial-up sound. And for those of you who don't know what that sounds like, they actually have a clip on the site on and they go do a full write-up of everything, but the breakdown of each part of it and what it was and what was actually functioning at the time, and you can see as it goes across, or you can just listen to it and get back the chills.
The one piece that's missing is right after that, it's usually me yelling at my mom, Mom, I'm on the modem, I'm talking to my friends,
hang
up the phone. So yeah, those days are gone, but it's nice to be able to go back and see actually the technical breakdown of what was actually going on. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, a lot of things we take for granted these days, just in these always connected on every device kind of craziness we live in now.
Yeah, definitely. So that's cool. Great pick of the week, and thanks for being on the show, Mark.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, anytime.
We will see you next week. Right.